The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 18th of January, 2018, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. You can follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show, and of course, we have a very active Facebook page. My question of the day yesterday was, have you had the flu yet? And there's been tremendous response to that question. You might want to weigh in with your experience. We've carried that question over on Facebook again today. But lots of people have had it or are dreading getting it. But anyway, 790-2040 for your comments and questions. We talk about air service today. It is our quarterly update on Tucson Air Service. Dick Grunzel is here. Dick is Vice President of Administration and Finance, and he's the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority. And under the authority's umbrella is, of course, Tucson International Airport and Ryan Airfield. Dick, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on again.
You know, we don't talk much about Ryan Airfield, but that is a component of what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's actually one of the highest traffic general aviation airports, not only in Arizona, but throughout the country.
You're kidding.
No, it's a very active community out there.
Where is it for people who have never been out there?
If you from Tucson International, if you took Valencia Road just straight west past Casino del Sol, it's probably about 10 miles or so, just pretty much directly west of Tucson International.
And they got the control tower out there and everything.
Yes, they do. Operates, I believe, from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., 24, every day of the week, 365 days a year. If our listeners haven't been out there, it's really a nice airport. Very neat, tidy. Everybody who's out there takes a lot of pride in the airport. We have a restaurant out
there
as well.
That's what I was going to say. Somebody was telling me there's a really good restaurant out at Ryan Field, and especially people love that place at lunch.
Richie's Cafe. It's fantastic.
Okay. Big news for those who are saying, well, when are we going to get some new nonstop service? Well, how about today? I think that operates actually in about an hour, the first flight.
Being here today, I'm actually unable to participate in the opening ceremonies for the inaugural flight.
I appreciate you sacrificing that for our appearance here today. Tell us about what's going on there.
Well, it's an airline called Via Air, and they their first flight into Tucson and back to Austin is occurring today. Just about as we speak, as you said, in about a half hour or so, the flight will be arriving. So it's nonstop back and forth to Austin. It's going to operate 3 days per week to begin with, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays. It's a route that we haven't had here for quite some time, probably about 10 years ago. We actually did have it for a short period of time with what was ExpressJet Airlines at the time.
Yeah.
So it's one that we hear a lot from people about. So we're really, really excited about being able to offer this again.
And this is a 50-seater.
Right, a 50-seat Embraer regional jet. Again, nonstop, probably about a two and a half hour flight. Business as well as leisure. I think, Tucson and Austin, I think from a leisure standpoint are kind of similar. I think the people who live in Austin, would like what goes on here. And I think people in Tucson would like what's going in Austin. So it's really a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, it's a big high-tech area. In fact, Austin was one of 20 cities named today by Amazon as potential for that giant mega headquarters. Well, of course, the headquarters is Seattle, but kind of a second headquarters for Amazon. So there's a lot of business, high-tech business that goes back and forth from Tucson to Austin.
Absolutely. Just like San Jose, which was recently introduced on Alaska Airlines, nonstops between Tucson and San Jose, and that's daily service.
Are we off to a pretty good start for this fiscal year?
We're off to a really good start. So far for the our fiscal year, which runs October through September, the first 3 months through December, we're up, 2.3% on our passengers over the last year. And, you know, considering that that's actually without the flight that we had last year at this time going to JFK on American, that's pretty strong performance. Most airports are kind of a reflection of what's going on in the community in terms of their economies. Certainly, the economy in Tucson has been strong and growing, and I think the airlines are noticing that. So they're adding more seats, not only on the nonstop routes, but even on the existing routes, they're adding a lot more service as well.
And we're getting a route, and we do have a route to Minneapolis-St. Paul.
It just started on December 21st with Sun Country Airlines. That's another one. It joins actually Delta, which already flies that route seasonally. That one also flies 3 days a week. That one's on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, and that'll be going through about the first part of April. It's just always a great day and great news when we can add more service to serve our customers here in Tucson.
Sun Country operates out of Minneapolis. I think that's their hub, isn't it?
That is their main
headquarters
hub. They've recently come under some new leadership, so they're actually looking at kind of trying to expand beyond just kind of their main business, which is flying primarily people who live in the Minneapolis area to sun destinations like Tucson. We're hoping that bodes well for us, that they could even see the opportunity here and fill some of our other unserved needs.
Visit Tucson, my friends over there tell me this is going to be a huge winter for Tucson because look at the weather. When you've had two big storms, not just in the east, but the south has even been hit with just really terrible weather. It all bodes well, I think, for our high season, which, of course, we're right in the middle of January through March. And this is when seat capacity into Tucson International Airport does increase.
Yeah, I mean, every year, January, February, March time period is our busiest time of the year. We have the most planes and seats coming in and out of our airport. But this year, it's up even more, up over 4% compared to last year. And one of the more exciting additions, which is contributing to that, is American Airlines is adding a third daily flight to Chicago O'Hare in March. Not long ago, that was just one flight a day on American, Southwest one flight a day. A couple of years ago, United came in and added a flight to O'Hare. With this third daily flight in our peak season, which is even of the 3 months, March is definitely the peak. We're going to have five daily flights to Chicago, four to O'Hare and one to Midway. So that really is a great great thing, not only for people in Tucson who want to go to that area, but probably most importantly for the tourism industry, as you were saying. That is one of Chicago is definitely one of the top destination markets for tourists coming into Tucson during the winter.
I think we'd have to go back a long time when we last had five daily flights into O'Hare.
I'm not sure we've ever had that before.
I think this is the first. TIA historian somewhere. But that's really good for us getting that really increases the tourism coming into town from O'Hare. American also, this is interesting now, into Charlotte, nonstop flights from Tucson.
Yeah, and that is it's really a tremendous add for us, not only for people who need to get back and forth from Charlotte, but this actually is going to be a red-eye flight. So when it starts on February 16th, it's actually going to be a 12:30 a.m. departure from Tucson. And then when the time changes for the rest of the country, which I believe happens in March sometime, it'll be an 11:30 p.m. Departure from Tucson. But the really the nice thing about this, and probably more so for people who live in Tucson who are going on vacation, it offers just tremendous connecting opportunities up and down the East Coast, into the Southeast and Florida, and also the Caribbean. A couple of examples. I mean, on a one-stop flight now through Charlotte, people can leave Tucson again at 11:30 at night, and they can be in Montego Bay, Jamaica, by 10:40 a.m. And hitting the beaches the next morning.
Oh my goodness! You know, I was going to say, you know, there's certainly the con is flying overnight, but the pro is, you know, I've done some of these red eyes, and Ray on the other side of the glass, he's done some as well to Bahamas and Nassau. It's not that bad if you do the overnight flight, because then you're sitting
on the beach.
You're at the beach, and you connect.
Drinking your piña coladas.
Exactly, and so many of those Caribbean flights operate in that 8 o'clock to noon area, so you're going to be right there to grab the flight.
Absolutely. Yes. And even, you know, just East Coast destinations like, you know, New York, Boston, Washington, you can be there also by, 10 o'clock in the next morning. So, you know, for people who want to make efficient use of their time, that is a great way to do it.
Okay, 790-2040, if you would like to talk about perhaps where you would like to see some nonstop service to your favorite city, let us know, 790-2040. Dick Grunzel sticks around. There's some... Boy, the improvements keep happening out at the airport. We'll touch on that, some of the changes with some of the service providers on the concourses. We'll talk about that after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview with Tucson City Councilwoman Regina Romero. Our roundtable features Joe Ferguson, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI and worldwide live listening at BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things, our favorite nursery for all things green, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs and on the web. Go to their website. They have a great website, greenthingsaz.com. They also have a nice link on the website right to the BuckmasterShow.com website, so you can hear all of our podcasts. They've got several free workshops. I know there's one coming up this weekend, so check it out, GreenThingsAZ.com. Dick Grunzel is with us talking about one of my favorite topics, air travel, and we're doing our winter air travel update. And I have to say, Dick, over our quarterly series, this is really one of the most optimistic, I think, winter seasons I've seen. We've been talking about Charlotte, Americans' nonstop service into Charlotte on February 16th, really opening up the Southeast Corridor. We've got Austin beginning today, and then these five now daily flights that will eventually be five to Chicago in March. That's amazing.
It's fantastic.
All right, so things happening with the at the airport itself. The security now, all of that has been upgraded.
Yeah, all the security checkpoints are fully completed and open. And if anybody has been there and seen it, it is a tremendous improvement. Open, airy. Just a much more pleasant experience going through security. If going through security can be pleasant, I mean,
hey, it can be more pleasant certainly at Tucson International Airport than a lot of other places I have been in the world. I mean, the lines usually move pretty darn quickly at TIA. So we've got give us an update now on what's going on with the vendors.
Yeah. So just recently, about 3 weeks ago, on the A concourse, which is where Southwest and United operate, and also Sun Country for that matter, Empire Pizza opened. So for our listeners, the Empire Pizza is a Tucson operation. They have a shop downtown, and they opened up to serve their New York style pizza on Concourse A. And on that concourse, we still have a couple more restaurants that will be opening. One is Dunkin' Donuts, and the other one is going to be the Maverick. Which
really?
Is, again, another Tucson establishment.
Iconic establishment.
Absolutely.
Maverick, yeah. So Thunder Canyon Brewery is coming, right?
Thunder Canyon Brewery is going to be on the A Concourse. And then on the A Concourse right now, pretty much everything in terms of the food is under construction. So the first ones to open on the A Concourse are going to be El Charro, Beyond Bread, Built Custom Burgers, and Brugger's Bagels. And we hope to have all four of those open probably mid-March, although I think we're trying to get El Charro and Beyond Bread to accelerate that a little bit or open first. And then Thunder Canyon, as you mentioned, will come after that.
Well, let's don't forget about one of our fine sponsors, one of our charter sponsors here on the program, Noble Hops.
Noble Hops has been open for several months now. It's doing very well. The keg cooler is full of kegs now. I mean, it was.
Hey, you're a Wisconsin guy. You know a good beer when you see one.
Absolutely. I mean, there were only a few in there when they opened, but yeah. As they've gotten things going, I don't know exactly how many different craft brews they have on tap, but I think it's got to be something in the neighborhood of 20 or so, based on the number of kegs I see in the cooler.
Well, you know, the nice thing too about Noble Hops there in that position at the airport, you don't have to go through security. So this opens up a lot of people, Raytheon employees working around the airport. It's a good place to meet for lunch.
Absolutely. And, the restaurant will validate your parking for you if you spend I don't recall offhand. There is a minimum amount, but if you're having lunch, it's not going to be difficult to get there. So that's something to keep in mind. And also for our visitors who are staying in the hotels up and down Tucson Boulevard, also a place where another option for them to come for lunch or dinner as well.
All right. Caller wants to, getting this on my screen right now, wants us to repeat, and we will gladly do so, about the new American Airlines flight to Charlotte. Let's talk a little bit about that. Sometimes we forget people are, the noon hour is like a mini drive time here in town. People are going to places, they're in and out of the car, so they didn't hear all about the Charlotte service.
Sure. Yes. American Airlines, starting February 16th, I think the first flight comes in from Charlotte on February 15th, and then the first flight to Charlotte will be on February 16th. And that's going to be a red-eye flight, starting out at 12:30 a.m., and then when the rest of the country goes on daylight savings time, it'll change to 11:30 p.m. Departure from Tucson. And then the flight back, as opposed to previous red-eyes we've had where the same plane just goes back and forth, the flight back to Tucson is actually a early morning departure from Charlotte, which then gets back into Tucson, I think, around 9 or 10 in the morning.
Really? So the time change, especially when it's 3-hour difference.
Right. Yeah. So, in terms of clock time, you can leave, again, on the East Coast early morning and in a few short hours be back in Tucson and still have a full day ahead of you.
You know, we talked about excellent connections up and down the East Coast from Charlotte and, of course, to Florida and then to the West Indies of the Caribbean. We haven't mentioned the fact that Charlotte is one of American Airlines' hub for Europe. And because that was kind of when American absorbed U.S. Air, because Charlotte was a big hub, as I recall, for U.S. Air.
Charlotte was U.S. Airways' largest hub.
Largest hub. So right. There is still, they're doing European service, nonstop service from Charlotte. So perhaps you could go easily. In fact, Tucson, Charlotte, then Charlotte, Europe kind of breaks the trip up a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely would spend a little bit of time in Charlotte.
Maybe you want to, spend a little time there and then grab the next day's flight.
I think the Europe banks, I think, from the East Coast typically go out, like late afternoon.
Okay.
So you'd be getting into Charlotte, let's say you know, 8 o'clock or so in the morning. Mm. And then you could, you could spend a day actually, mm-hmm. you know, seeing the sights in Charlotte, yep. have a good lunch and come back and catch the flight to Europe.
How's the parking? Is that all taken care of now out at the airport, the main lot?
Yes, the parking is finally, work is all finally done in the main lot in front of the terminal. This is the daily lot as well as the hourly lot for the short-term and long-term parkers. So our long-term parking as well as the short-term in the front is now fully covered with solar canopies. So as we've talked about, the dual benefit of paying probably we're estimating it will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 60-70% of the entire electric needs of our terminal building. And then, of course, the covered parking for people parking there. So it's just been a tremendous project. And, you think about in a lot of cases, you look at solar canopies, not real attractive. Boy, this is a lot different. This is it's a real showpiece for not only the airport, but really for the rest of the country and any visitors to Tucson. Look at this, and it really is an impressive sight when they come in and get a view of that from the terminal.
All right, Dick Grunzel, we are going to let you go and let you get out to the airport and catch that grand opening of the flight over to Austin at 1:05 this afternoon as the service, nonstop service. The website for people that need more about Tucson International.
www.flytucson.com.
All right, Dick, have a great day. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. If it's Thursday, that means tomorrow's Friday, and that's our Friday Focus interview. We'll be having in studio with me Councilwoman Regina Romero, and joining me in the questioning, Joe Ferguson, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. I want to tell you about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay. And they offer up on the website several dozen recreation opportunities. Hang out in historic Silver City, do a little camping, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Well, passengers climbing into self-driving cars, those are also the highly automated vehicles known as HAVs, need to believe that those vehicles can avoid potential hazards. So Matthew Yorger, a University of Arizona assistant professor of aerospace and mechanical engineering, has been teaming up with researchers at Illinois Institute of Technology, and the goal is to build on a knowledge of aircraft navigation standards to improve and guarantee the HAVs, the highly automated vehicles. Professor Yorger is with us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Professor, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great.
People worry, you know, about getting in the car and letting this automated vehicle do the driving, but how do you know it's safe, Professor? That's the big worry.
Yes, that's an excellent question, and I think people should worry a little bit.
Tell me about this research that you are doing with the folks in Illinois.
Yes, I guess I would like to start with a very short introduction to say that, you know, this dream of having these automated cars has been around for many years, and people see the economic and practical impacts of not having to drive and, you know, making other things of your time when you try to compute. So there has been a lot of research starting in the 1920s and then again in the 1960s with electronic highways, the 1990s, and then more recently with Google and Tesla and so on. So there's a lot of interest, and this goes in cycle. But really, if you look at what a human driver is capable of doing, which is currently of driving 100 million miles on average without fatality, that's a pretty impressive number when you think of a robotic or automated system. And so matching this type of numbers is a task of pretty much epic proportions. The only automated systems that we have that are able to match that level of performance are really the autopilot systems. And the FAA has invested 20 years of research, billions of dollars, in order to achieve the level of safety performance that we are currently experiencing with aircraft. And so our idea is to leverage all of that prior work in aviation and to apply that to autonomous cars.
Well, how big a job is it? I would think that's a huge undertaking. Let me ask you this. Will that aviation technology transfer over to the automobile?
So it won't be an easy task because, of course, the environment for an aircraft is much more predictable. An aircraft is not going to go under a tunnel. The field of view of its sensor is not going to be blocked by a passing truck and so on. So the environment that you have for a car is much more unpredictable and much more difficult to deal with. That is why it's going to be a huge challenge. In fact, I believe there's a little bit of deception going on with all the talk about autonomous cars. Really, I think in the near-term future, the systems that you're going to be to see in practice are systems that can drive on highways under sunny days under ideal conditions. You're not going to have an autonomous car that takes you from home to work, going through your grocery shopping, and that does that in the snow or in heavy rain. I don't think this is going to happen anytime soon.
What are we going to see first? Usually, I've heard it will be like convoys of automated trucks out on the interstate. Will that be kind of the first thing we're going to see?
Yes, this is one application. So highways are one of the most secure and predictable parts of the road environment. So this is where you can expect autonomous systems in the near-term future.
What about General Motors, Professor, saying that they want to have cars without a steering wheel or pedals on the road by next year? How in the world is that kind of rushing it, in your opinion?
So I think there are ways to implement that. But again, there's a little bit of deception, maybe marketing. I don't know how to correctly phrase this. But if you think of segregated roads, so roads that are what we call geofenced, so within a predetermined area that you have previously surveyed over many, many, many hours, I think this might be possible. Of course, if you take all the precautions of dealing with other road users, such as pedestrians, this might be possible. But taking you from home to work is not going to happen anytime soon, I believe. That's the perspective of people that work in aviation.
What is your best guess on when that might happen, time frame?
For the fully autonomous system?
Yes, for a fully that we're all going to be out in fully autonomous vehicles.
I think that's an excellent and exciting question, but you know, don't count on me to speculate on that.
But it's a long time, you would say?
I would say a long time, yes.
Yeah, so what's the next step here? You've got Google, their self-driving car unit already has these driverless cars on the road. It's part of a pilot project. But from what I understand, that pilot project has had a few accidents. It's been a mixed picture of success, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So there are kind of two questions here. The first thing is, you are totally right that, you know, if you extend what is going on with the Google cars and the other pilot programs, if you extend that to the 3,000 billion miles that are driven in the U.S. every year by U.S. drivers, this would be a terrible picture. Certainly, it wouldn't match the performance of human drivers. But from all of these improvements, I believe that we are going to get driving assistance systems that are going to help human drivers to drive more safely. So we are going to get tremendous benefits from all of this new technology that is currently being developed. So while, yes, there is mixed results, I think we are going to get tremendous benefits in terms of safety.
Because that is the big concern. I mean, there are so many variables, as you pointed out early in our interview with the aviation. It's a different environment. When you're out on the road, there are all these different factors. And most of these tests, by the way, that have been going on, Volvo is doing their testing for driverless vehicles. But, of course, this testing is not being done in the snow. It's being it's being done in warm weather areas like our area here in Tucson. So you, when you add the snow in, you've got a really different factor, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in general, in safety, being able to drive or to operate autonomously 95% of the time, 99% of the time, is not so challenging. It's really the 99.999% of the time that is the challenging part, not only to achieve, but also to prove and to quantify. So you have to deal with these rarely occurring events. But because we are driving so many miles, we are driving so much, these rarely occurring events can turn out to be, you know, just mass accidents if you just instantly generalize these automated system and if you spread them in mass quantities.
Professor Matthew Yorger, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you so much.
Professor Yorger from the University of Arizona, he is an assistant professor of aerospace and mechanical engineering, and he is working with the Illinois Institute of Technology. They're using, seeing how aircraft technology can be used to make self-driving cars a safe environment. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There will be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and I'm Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI. Got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Starting Monday and running for six consecutive Monday evenings at UA Centennial Hall, the University of Arizona College of Science presents the first in the free lecture series. This year, the title is Humans, Data, and Machines. Previous topics over the past dozen years have included quantum physics, climate change, genomics, and evolution. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz. Dr. Ruiz, the Vice President for Innovation, Dean of the UA College of Science. He is the Thomas R. Brown Chair and Director of Biosphere 2 and UA Professor of Geosciences. Dr. Ruiz, how are you, sir?
Bill, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. Who comes up with these ideas for this is a great lecture series.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. There's a group. I have a little committee that's been with me since the beginning, since lecture number one, which was on evolution. And we're always trying to deliver to the public what we believe is an item that's timely. And, of course, this year it was a no-brainer. It was basically machine learning and artificial intelligence.
Well, this really fits into our last segment. We were just talking with a U of A researcher about driverless cars. And one of the sessions that you've coming up on Monday, February 12th, What Humans Do That Machines Cannot. That is what's on, I think, a lot of people's minds these days.
That's right. Well, I think what I hope to be able to do, or what we hope to be able to do through the lecture series, is a bit demystify what artificial intelligence and machine learning is all about. And the key thing that people should recognize makes artificial machine learning, where we are today, is that machines can really pick up patterns way better than we can. And most of these algorithms that are created are for machines to pick up patterns, you know, like what is it, a mole or is it skin cancer? Machines can probably do that better than doctors and things of that sort. That's why they can make robots. But the amazing thing and the scary thing about machine learning is that the algorithms are so complex that sometimes, in fact, we don't quite know why a decision will be made by the machine. So a classic example, and one that you already brought up, is driverless cars. If a car would go left and right or right, depending on some circumstance that is not predicted by the car, we don't know if it's going to turn left or right. And there's a lot of machine learning now in trying to understand how those decisions are made by the instruments, by the machines. It's actually incredibly fascinating.
So give us kind of an overview. One of the lectures coming up on the 29th is The Minds of Machines, and you were kind of touching on that. Then there's Working Alongside Thinking Machines. Now, that's fascinating, too, because the human action, interaction, Dr. Ruiz, with machines, I think, is one of the big questions of the 21st century.
Right. So I think, said in a slightly different way, and now talking as a dean of a college of science, we need to educate folks about precisely what you just mentioned, and that is, if we have a lot of jobs are going to disappear, and we believe that a lot of jobs are going to be created, and those jobs are going to be those jobs in which machines and humans are working side by side. And this is, of course, in a more complex way than running a robot building cars or a robot building whatever. What are those jobs? I have no idea. But there is no doubt that as we move along this path of innovation, there are going to be need of folks that actually know how to work and be side by machines.
Well, it's a fascinating topic, and one of the sessions is there is no such thing as big data.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one. And you go ahead.
I guess one of the things that people should also recognize is that the reason we're right now in what could be called the revolution of machine learning is simply because computers have gotten so powerful that they can now act on databases that are as large as we can produce. So it is truly an innovation in hardware that has allowed for computer scientists to do what they've been predicting for decades, which is this issue of artificial intelligence, and which they have not been able to deal with because they did not have powerful enough computers. Now you have places like Google that just put as much information as they have, which is all the information, basically, into algorithms. And these algorithms, with all this data that they're accumulating, actually learn. And they can then predict things based on the input. So there is an enormous amount of data. But now we have hardware that can actually basically deal with any kind of size of data.
You know, I remember the first year of the lecture series, and I think it was in a smaller, I know it was a small venue. I'm trying to think. It was a small auditorium on campus, and nobody really knew, Joaquin, what was going to happen, whether the public would be interested in these topics. Well, they were, it continued to grow, and you've had these overflow crowds. I think it says something about our community that people just turn out for these lectures. They're so curious about these topics.
Yes, our community is extraordinary. And I always chuckle when I bring in an invited speaker from some distinguished institution, and they give a lecture to 2,000 people in Centennial Hall. And then I tell these lecturers that not only are there 2,000 people in Centennial Hall, but sometimes there's a overflow crowd in a building next door, and there's also all kinds of people listening to this thing live on the web. And they just cannot believe it. So our community is, in fact, quite special. And it's great because it just energizes us to continue doing this and doing it better every year.
And again, that starts Monday, the 22nd of January. And that is these are free lectures, 7 o'clock, Centennial Hall. I would suggest getting there very early, correct?
Correct.
Can I carve out about a minute or so for that $30 million gift that is really positioning UA Biosphere 2 to address really some grand challenges? This was a terrific gift that came down late last year.
Right. So one of the Bill, one of the co-founders of Biosphere 2, Ed Bass from Texas, has been truly engaged with the life of Biosphere 2 since its inception in the late 80s, early 90s. He had been supporting our efforts annually, but then last year he decided to give us an endowment of $30 million. And the important thing of that endowment is that it allows us now to have a sustainable budget for the operation of the Biosphere, which then allows us to do things that are really important for the resiliency that is required in this world because of global climate change. So we're going to now embark in some very aggressive research at the ocean, trying to come up with what's needed to save the corals. So corals are dying right and left, and of course you've read it in the newspapers, and it's been front page of the New York Times. And the reason they're dying is because water and the temperature of the oceans is getting too warm.
Yes.
In addition to being acidified, they're getting too warm, and these corals can't take it.
Yeah.
So we're going to be working at the Biosphere Ocean with some of the leading coral researchers around the world, coming up with the mechanisms that may allow corals to not die in 20 years. It may be the first ecosystem, whole ecosystem, that dies because of climate change.
Well, we're going to hear more about what's going on at Biosphere 2 in the coming months. Dr. Ruiz, thank you very much for talking with us.
Bill, Happy New Year, and I wish you the best.
Thank you very much, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, the Vice President of Innovation, talking about that very popular lecture series beginning at Centennial Hall, 7 o'clock on Monday night. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Make sure you tune in at 4 today. Mic check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Wake up tomorrow, 6 to 9, and then me on the Friday Focus. Have a great afternoon.